of that. Amen. Praise the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. I've enjoyed all the good singing today, and I say it often and mean it every time I say it. I'm glad for the talent that God has given you, and I'm glad that you're willing to use it for the Lord. I don't have a singing talent. God called me to preach, and I'm glad that anything that I do in my preaching is through the power and energy of the Holy Spirit. And those of you that allow the Holy Spirit of God to use you in your singing and your playing and your gift that God has given you, well, God bless you for it. God bless you for it. We're better because of that. We benefit, the Scripture teaches. It is a profit. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. He wrote that church and said, it profits us when you use your gifts in the local assembly. And so we're thankful for that. I was carrying on with the Sunday school this morning a little bit, and I said, we're in the book of Jude, and I said, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and your Bible should just automatically open up there. And so we've been here a little while, and actually today what I'd like to do, I feel impressed of the Lord to do this. I want to go back and revisit a couple of verses of Scripture that I think what it's going to do is going to enlighten us together on what these verses that we will be getting into toward the end of chapter 5, which is the end of this first epistle to the church at Thessalonica. And so if you'd stand to your feet, I want to read a passage of Scripture to you, and then we'll go back and we'll look. I'm going to begin in verse 19. Eventually we'll get to these verses. I want to say a word about them. God has just really been speaking to my heart about the importance of all the Bible. And I've never lost that since I've been a Christian, but you know, I do kind of, I guess, become aware of more things at seasons in my life. And these Scriptures have really been ministering to me about the importance of, well, look at verse 19, not quenching the Spirit. I don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. Now, when I say that, I don't mean just like in what people say, big stuff. I don't want to quench Him in anything. And so that we'll get to that later in the message. I don't want to despise prophesying. You know, I'm talking to a church that believes the Bible. And when I read these, you would think, well, no, not us. That's them other people, right? We wouldn't quench the Holy Spirit of God. Well, now be careful. You've done it before. I've done it before. And we have to be cautious. Well, we wouldn't despise prophesying. Well, now, we've done it before. And so, yeah. And then look, if you would, prove all things. Prove all things. Why? Well, there's a lot of things out there that's just not so. And we just have to really keep our radar up, don't we? Prove all things. Why, Paul? So you can hold fast. Look at it now, verse 21. So you can hold fast that which is good. God holds me accountable for what I am hearing and reading and studying in His Word. God just doesn't want me to be edified. God wants me to make application with the edification that I receive. And God wants you to do it as well. He wants me to hold fast to it, right? And that's an interesting phrase there, and we'll get to it eventually. Then He said, not only that, but the flip side of that is abstain from all appearances of evil. In other words, all that you know is good, do it. And all that you know that's not good, don't do it. That word abstain doesn't mean just most of the time. I'm going to go back to that. We're going to have prayer so you can be seated. And I want to talk to you about that word abstain just for a moment, because I fear in my heart, and it may be this way with you, I don't know, if we're not careful, we'll take the word abstain to mean, well, just some of the time, or most of the time. But I think we know what total abstinence is. Paul used that word in this letter once before. And so let's look at the connotation in which he used it and the context in which he used it previously. And I think it'll give us a good idea of what God expects from you and I as believers. All right? Father, thank You for Your Word. God, help us to be true to Your Word. Thank You for this time together. And help me as I present Your Word to be true to it. Help each one, as we hear your word, that we wouldn't be hearers only. We would hear, but we would hear so that we may do and apply. Build us up through the preaching of your word, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You can be seated. So before I dig into this, I want to kind of uncover some things that God has given me as I've really just been meditating and thinking about these verses of Scripture and, you know, how I can bring these to life in my life and how that we as a church can bring them to life in our life as individuals and then collectively as an assembly. When Paul says, prove all things, this whole section goes together. He's basically saying, if you'll follow the pattern here, if you'll follow the direction, he's saying in verse 19, don't quench the Spirit. And one way that you can quench the Spirit is dismissing the Word before you give thought to it. Just dismiss it because it doesn't fit well in your agenda, or it doesn't sound good to you, or it's not something you're willing to do. He's saying that don't be dismissive of God's Word. And if you are, then, well, you will quench the Spirit. And then he said the reason you don't want to quench the Spirit and be dismissive to God's Word is so you can know what to do that is good. God's Word tells us the good that we need to be doing in our Christian life, right? God will direct our paths, and God will direct us in the way that we should go. And God's Word gives us that teaching. But on the flip side of that, it tells us what not to do. And when he said, abstain from all, and he keeps using that, you know, prove all things, abstain from all, hold fast to that, you know, all the good. He didn't say that, but it's inferred there. But see that word abstain in verse 22? Go back, if you would, in chapter 4, and look at verse number 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 3, he used that word there also, and it's about sexual immorality. And he said this, he said, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Now, what is Paul saying here? Just kind of abstain from some of it, or, you know, just practice safe sex, or no, he's saying stay away from immorality completely. Abstain from it, right? Stay away from it. So when you take that same word now, in chapter 4, verse 3, abstain, and you go over to chapter 5 in verse number 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. If it looks evil, stay away from it, right? I mean, that's what he's saying. Listen, if it has the appearance that it's going to take you down a road that you don't need to go down, stay away from it. Now, how am I going to do that? And here's what I want you to follow with me as we go back, and I'll try to unpack some things that I've passed over the first time. As I prove all things, that word prove is very interesting. It basically is saying get the approval from God. Get the approval from God so you'll know that God said it, it's good, you can do it, or God said it's not good, you don't do it. That's what he's saying, get the approval. The same word, and I want you to turn back here just for a moment, is used in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, it's the same word, and it's very interesting how the Apostle Paul used it to the church at Ephesus compared to how he used it to the church at Thessalonica. He said this in chapter 5, and we're very familiar with Ephesians 5. It has teachings about the being filled with the Spirit, about walking circumspectly, about redeeming the time because the days are evil, about wives submitting to their husbands and husbands loving their wives. And we're just familiar with the teaching of Ephesians 5. But one of the things, if we're not careful, we may pass over is that verse 10, and I want you to look at it. It has our word in it. It has our word in it. Prove all things. And he said, here's what you need to do. He said, you need to be proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. See, it's the same message that he gave to the church at Thessalonica. You see it? You see what he's saying? He said, it's the same message. You need to prove all things. And he said to the church at Ephesus, he said, you need to be proven what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, how do you do that? You just run it through him. God, do you want me to listen to this? God, do you want me to watch this? God, do you want me to do this? You see what I'm saying? You prove it by him, not the preacher. Now, please listen to me. not a fellow Christian. Now, there's nothing wrong with having conversations about it. But if you want to know what to do, if I want to know what to do, I need to run it through God. And this is what Paul was saying. When he said, prove all things, he said, you need to run it through the Scripture. What saith the Scripture? What does God think? Not what does your preacher think. Not what does your neighbor think. Right? What does God say? I want you to notice how he followed that statement up. I think it's just very interesting, the context in which he wrote it. He said in verse number 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Holding fast to that which is good. That's what he's saying. Why, Paul? He said this. He said, so you would not have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. When you run it through God, when I run it through God, I won't find myself involved in any kind of activity that I shouldn't be involved in. That's what he's saying. And so that's why it's important that we understand what it is not to quench the Spirit. So I want you to turn back to that, and I want to just unpack some things. And I hope you'll give me your undivided attention for the next 20, 30, 40, 50 minutes. All right. Now, listen. I probably shouldn't have said that. The apostle, you remember what we've been talking about? You have to remember the context. One of the things, and I don't even know who I was talking to, we were having a conversation about Bible study. And one of the things, and I remember now, but I'm not going to call their name. And so one of the things that came up was hermeneutics, homiletics, the science of Bible study. You say, well, that's for preachers. Can I tell you, God wants you to study the Bible. And God wants me to be true to the Bible, and God wants you to be true to the Bible. God wants us to rightly divide the word of truth. Now, I'm going to tell you a prevailing thought. Please don't miss this. A prevailing thought that is running amok in our world today. Well, you know, there is no absolute truth. You know, this means this, and this means that to some, and this means that to others. And sometimes what people do is they get frustrated. Now, when the Apostle Paul said, despise not prophesying, you see that? In our day, people are despising prophesying, and I pray to God that when we get to the end of the message today, I'm going to give you some things that I believe why people are doing it, but I want to start right here. It's because we're hearing so much stuff. And people say, well, you know, these people believe that, and they're good people, and these people believe that, and they're good people, and these people believe the exact opposite of what they believe, but they're good people. I don't know what to believe. They all say that it's the Bible. And so if we're not careful from that alone, now there's more, but from that alone, people will be kind of tuning out prophesying. Now, I'm going to start using the word preaching for prophesying because it's the same thing. It's divine utterance. That's what it means. It is a preaching. Now, while we are moving away from preaching, God has chosen preaching. You do understand that? God has chosen preaching. I'm for teaching. I'm for testimonies. I'm for singing. But God said he has chosen preaching to get people to see what their need is because preaching calls for repentance. You study John the Baptist. The Bible didn't say he went out and started teaching. He went out and started preaching. Matthew chapter 3. You know what he was preaching? Repentance. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus followed John the Baptist, who was the forerunner. And in Matthew chapter number 4, in verse 17, you know what Jesus was preaching? Repentance. See, that's why God has chosen preaching. When Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, he didn't stand up and give them some little speech, rather. He stood up and he preached. And then he said, now you need to repent. And over 3,000 souls got saved. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them which are lost. It is the power of God, Paul said. Preaching is, brethren, preaching. It is in 1 Corinthians 1:21, it is the wisdom of God. God knows what he's doing. And so God has chosen preaching. I'm for teaching. I'm for singing. Thank God for it. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying this morning. But we have so many who claim to call themselves Bible-believing Christians, and they're moving away from God's way. And God's way is preaching. Amen. Don't you ever be satisfied without preaching. It's preaching. Now, preaching ought to teach, but not all teaching is preaching. We need preaching. And so when he said, despise not prophesying, he said, now don't despise preaching. Well, you know, down there at fellowship, he got that one guy up there, you know, that thinks he's pretty. Not you, me. And then you got the white-haired guy, and they get up, and boy, they just scream at you. That's why I don't go. No, we have some passion about us. Amen. What we're saying is important, brethren. There are souls at stake here. Sound the alarm. Amen. Well, I tell you right now, this stuff of just going in and soft-pedaling around and giving some kind of little story or essay, we need some Bible preaching. And I thank God that we have a church here who wants to hear it. Amen. Don't you ever be satisfied without preaching. And that's what Paul was saying here. Now, why? Now, why? Let's go back, and I want to revisit some things. Because the context in which this is written is really important. What is Paul saying here when he said, don't quench the spirit? Don't despise prophesying. Prove all things. What are you saying, Paul? Well, I think in order to get the full gist of what he's saying, we have to go back some. And so I want you to remember what we talked about relationships within the church. Remember that? Let me remind you with just a few illustrations. Look, if you would, at verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you also do. He said, now, if you're going to have a good church body, if there's going to be comfort and there's going to be building up, that's what that word edify means. If there's going to be building up of each other instead of tearing each other down, and some Christians have been known to do that, and if I'm not careful, I might do that, and if you're not careful, you may do that, but God's not pleased no matter who does it. And so he says you need to be comforting one another, and you need to be building one another up in verse number 11. Then he said, now shepherds, listen to me. Shepherds, listen to me. If you are a pastor, if you are a leader, if you are an elder in the church, he said, you need to appreciate the sheep, and you need to do this. Notice what he said. He said, you shepherds need to labor among the sheep. Look at verse 12. He said, know them which labor among you. You see that? Work for your congregation. Labor for them. Let it be a labor of love. Serve them. Serve them. And so he said, labor. And then he said this in verse number 12, the latter part of it. He said, which are over you. He said, lead them, right? Lead them. Don't be afraid to lead the sheep. God made you a shepherd. Lead them. Lead them. Get out front and lead them. That's what he's saying to me. That's what he's saying to the elders, the pastors of the church. And so he said, this is your relationship to the sheep. Labor, lead. And then notice this. This is a very important word that's going to help us unlock the scriptures we're moving toward in verse 19, 20, 21, and 22. He said in the latter part of verse number 12, and admonish you. Those leaders, those shepherds, they should be admonishing you. I hope you know what that word means. It's a very important word. It means to warn. It means to caution. That's what it's saying. Listen now. He said, because there's many false prophets out there, and there's many roads that'll take you off of the straight and narrow. And so he said, when they stand up and warn, don't quench the spirit. Don't dismiss it, saying, well, that's for someone else. That's not for me. It's for all of us, brethren. It's for all of us. And he said, if you want to have a healthy church body, then as a shepherd, I certainly, and as the shepherds of this church, and we have some good ones, listen to me what he said. He said, you need to feed them, and you need to lead them, but you also need to warn them. warn them, because there's wolves out there, and some of them are disguised in sheep's clothing, and they'll reach out and they'll try to get their ear and they'll try to get their attention to pull them away from the truth, brethren. It's real. Many false prophets, Jesus said, are gone out. And so that's the relationship with the shepherd to the sheep. Then he said, now sheep, you need to have a relationship with the shepherd. Remember? Remember what he said? Look at it if you would. He said, know them. Are you with me in verse number 12? He said, brethren, you know them which labor among you. You know your shepherd. You be aware. You take note who your leaders are. You take note of them. You be aware of who they are, and you take heed. That's what, in that word, no, you take heed. And I think he's saying when they admonish you, listen to them now. Don't dismiss it. Don't despise the prophesying. Paul's leading up to it. You see what he's doing? I hope that you do. I hope that you do. And so he said, first of all, he said, know them which labor. And he said in verse number 13, he said what? Esteem them very highly. The word esteem just simply means this. Count them, consider them very highly. In love, love them. Love them. Realize that, you know, as a leader, your leaders, that they may say some things that you don't take too well to. But, you know, we have challenges just like you. We fight battles just like you. We're in this together. That's what Paul was saying. And so he said, you want a good, healthy church? There has to be, in order for anything to be healthy, brethren, there has to be strong relationships, pastors and congregation, and congregation with congregation. He even said this is what you ought to do. Look at verse number 11. Shepherd appreciate the sheep. Sheep appreciate the shepherd. Sheep appreciate the sheep. You say, we talked about this, but are you doing it? Am I doing it, you see? Because if I'm not doing this, when I get down to verse number 19, I'm already doing that. I'm quenching the Holy Spirit. I'm already doing verse 20. I'm despising prophesying. I'm not doing what God said do. I'm taking it lightly. And so if I'm not willing to fulfill my God-ordained assignment, then I can't follow God's commandments. I hope you see that. And so when we come to church, we don't want to come to church and just watch and just see what other people are going to do. No, brethren, we all have assignments. We all have duties. We all have a job to do because we're in this together. We're a body. That'd be like my, you know, me trying to get somewhere from me to Brother David, and my leg says, you know what? I'm not going to go with you. It's going to be really hard for me to get from here to there. Because the leg's part of my body. And I need my whole body functioning so that I can function well. You understand what Paul was saying here? It's so important. What part of you are the body? What part in the body are you? What has God called you to do? Well, I know for sure he's called me and the shepherds of this church to do this. And he's called you and the sheep to do this. But he said, sheep to sheep. I like verse number 11. I just love it. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. And when somebody in your church is hurting, comfort yourselves together, right? When someone's going through a tough spot, comfort yourselves together. When someone's seeing it hard, rally around them and comfort yourselves together. Isn't that what he's saying, brethren? Sure it is. Sure it is. You shouldn't just say, well, I didn't know that family very well. Well, if they're part of the church, comfort them. He didn't say if you're your best friend in church. He didn't say if they sit beside you at church. He said, listen to me now. Listen to me. He said, if you're at the church of Thessalonica, get involved in comforting the people of Thessalonica that's part of the church. And then he said this. He said, not only are we to comfort one another, he said, edify. Build up each other. Don't be caught in the corner saying things you shouldn't say. And we've all done it. I mean, make sure. Nope, no halos. We've all done it. You'll misspeak and you'll say something that will displease God. And you know what that does? It quenches the Holy Spirit. And now you've set yourself up to despise the preaching of God's word. And now you set yourself up to not hold fast to that which is good. And now I've set myself up to not abstain from all the appearances of evil. You see how they all go together? And so the Apostle Paul said, listen, there's some things, there's some duties. We talked about duties to sheep in verse 14 and 15. And I like verse 15 in particular. It says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. He said, you know what? If it's good enough to do in the church, it's good enough to do those outside the church. If it's good enough to love people and to help people and to comfort people inside the church, it's good enough to do that for people outside the church. Amen? Hey, this is basic Christianity 101. Now, he's doing this for a reason because he said, if you'll understand what your role is, when you get down, and he said, now, I'm down to verse number 19 now. He says, so don't quench the spirit. And don't you despise preaching now. Don't despise it. Don't dismiss it. Don't dismiss preaching. You take it in, and then you prove it. So I don't know, that doesn't sound just right. Well, run it through the scripture, see if it's acceptable to the Lord, Ephesians 5, right? Right, God? Now, the preacher said I shouldn't do this. What do you say, God? Run it through the scripture. God, the preacher said I should do this. What do you say, Lord? Should I do this? So I'll just dismiss it, preacher. I know what I believe. I'm going to tell you what you are. Now, listen to me carefully, all right? You're a person who thinks more highly of themselves than they ought. You're not as spiritual as you think you are. You say, well, you're not either, preacher. I think the difference between me and you, the person who thinks that way, is I realize that. Amen. I realize I've got some growing to do. I've got some growing to do. And I'm learning as I get older and as I'm in this, I'm learning, brethren. I'm learning. I don't ever want to quit learning. I don't. And so, yeah, God's still working on me. God's still changing some things in my life. If God ever quits changing stuff in our life, we quit growing. You quit growing, usually you die. Spiritually. So what's that mean to us now? Well, he said, don't despise prophesy. Don't set aside preaching. You need preaching. Preaching. How should they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how should they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how should they hear except, somebody repeat, somebody finish that for me. A preacher. A preacher. We need preaching. This world needs preaching. And we're living in a society that is dismissing preaching. We're living in a society where, people take the call to God to preach lightly. I didn't take up preaching. You think this man took up preaching? You think the God called preachers in our congregation just took up preaching? You don't just take up preaching, brethren. That's a call from God. So you can't just decide one day, well, you know what? I think I can do that. I think I'm going to do that. You're going to mess up is what you're going to do. My mama didn't call me to preach. A man didn't call me to preach. Now, I'm really hitting hard on this the last few weeks because I'm about up to here with these self-appointed preachers. Because you know what they do? I'm going to show you in the Bible now. In the Bible, what these self-appointed preachers do. They are messing things up. Now, I'm going to tell you, just so you know, I want to be fair about this, there's some God-called preachers messing some things up too. Just so you know, I want to be fair, okay? So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to do, turn to 2 Timothy. That's just a couple of pages back. 2 Timothy. Turn to 2 Timothy. And Paul said this. He said, Timothy, chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, Timothy, let me tell you the way this works. Okay? Now, he had just got through in chapter 3, talking about in the last days, perilous times will come. And he said, men's not going to want to hear the truth. They're not. And so he said, Timothy, I'm going to tell you what you should do. You're in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, this is what we need, brethren. In order to prove all things, we need the word to prove it by. You can't prove all things. I need the word to hold the truth to. You see, the word is the truth. That's the standard. That's the word I was searching for. The standard. I need the standard. I'm going to prove it by the standard. Everybody understand what I'm saying? You need the standard. And the truth, God's word is the standard. And so when I hear something, that's the standard by which I prove it by. Not by what I think. You hear? You with me? Please tell me you're with me. This is so important, brethren. I'm telling you, our Bible-believing churches are dying. Man, we got to do something. This is serious to me. You have children, grandchildren, brethren. Please listen. You have lost family members. If we don't preserve a place and guard the truth where the Word of God goes forth and the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost of God, we're in trouble, brethren. We're in trouble. And we seem to have gotten okay and comfortable without preaching and without truth, and it seems to have become secondary when God never intended for it to be secondary. And I don't mean fellowship, but it could happen to us. We could slip into it and be okay with it. We could get lulled to sleep and think we're okay and we don't need preaching, and that's not for me. I'm here to tell you, if you're sitting in the sound of my voice, it is for you. As a matter of fact, if you're sitting there thinking it's not for me, it's mainly for you. Because you think, oh my, I'm okay. That's right before the devil gets you. Hear me now, right before he gets you, you think I'm okay. I'm all right. I don't need that hollered and screaming stuff. Just trying to wake some of your souls up. I'm telling you, it's important. I see what's happening. I've been around a little bit. I don't know it all, but I've been around in this thing called ministry for a while. I've seen the tide turn. I've seen the churches empty out. I've seen the truth be diminished and walked on and set aside, and people become destitute and resist the truth who once stood for it and preached it. I've seen it, and it's bothering me. It's bothering me. Would to God it would bother some of all of us. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I think Paul saw it. And he said in chapter number 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Hey man, Timothy, just keep telling them and keep telling them. Notice what he said. He said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. I'm going to be just as honest with you. From the core of my soul, I don't know all that means. I just know I'm either in it or out of it. Amen. I'm either in season, out of season. I just know that God wants me to keep preaching whether I'm in of it or out of it. If you've been called to preach, God just wants you to keep preaching the truth, the word, whether you're in it or out of it. Just preach it. Well, preacher, they might not like it. Just keep preaching it. Well, you know, it might get me a little trouble. Just keep preaching it. Well, you know, they might not have me back. Just preach it anyway. Just keep preaching the Bible. Our world needs Bible preaching. Oh, I tell you what we need. We need a man as our governor. No, we need Bible preaching. We need somebody else in the Oval Office. No, we need some more Bible preaching, God-called, anointed, Spirit-filled preachers behind the pulpits in America. We need Bible preaching, brethren. Our country is gone off the cliff. We don't even know what truth is anymore. We joke and we laugh about folks not even knowing what bathroom to go in. I'm going to tell you where it got to before it got to that, brethren. They don't know what God to believe in. When you know what God to believe in and you know who God is, you won't have any problem with the rest of this stuff. Somebody say amen with me. And so this got started a long time ago now. But we're reaping the fruit of those first steps of just slowly moving away. How did it happen? I'm going to give you this and I may be through. Usually we stop at verse 2, which is a huge mistake. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, but now exhort. Don't just reprove and and rebuke. Do a little exhorting, do a little building up, right? Do a little warning, do a little edifying, with all longsuffering and doctrine. Did you notice how he put that in there? Doctrine. Doctrine. Why? Let's read on. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You say, what is doctrine? It's right teaching. It's Bible truth. And the time's going to come where people don't want to hear what the Bible says. So what are they going to do? Are you ready? I'm getting ready to define a church near you. Not being mean, but I'm not going to back off what the truth says either. And so the scripture said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, when they will, and after their own lust shall they heap to themselves. Now wait a minute, hold it. I thought God called preachers. Oh no, no, these are not God called preachers. These are them called preachers. They heap them to themselves. We want you to come tell us what the Bible says. Why? Because we like the way you leave out some stuff. We feel so comfortable when we leave your church. Well, after you get through, we just feel so good about ourselves. We like it that way. I actually, Sharon, Gene, I don't know if you remember, we were watching television. I know some of y'all, that's a sin. That's okay. It's not to me yet, but we were watching television, saw a commercial, local church in Charlottesville. Couldn't tell you the name of it. Probably wouldn't even if I could think of it. Maybe. I don't know. The way I'm feeling right now, I'd probably tell you the name and the pastor. So, whoever she was. So we're watching, and I kid you not now, this was the advertisement. Come on out and be with us. You don't have to worry about an offering. And we're not going to say anything about your lifestyle. We don't judge. We don't judge down here at such and such church. You don't. Well, then you're despising prophesying. Jesus said, judge righteous judgment. So you see, it sounds good. Sounds lovey-dovey, all embracing, right? You know, all inclusive. Let's finish now. We're still in the book. Just had to get off there to draw you a mental picture of what the Word said. They don't want sound doctrine. Why? Because they will heap to themselves these teachers of their own lust now. Tell it to us the way we want to hear it. Not the way God said. That's what that means when it says after their own lust. You see that? We don't like what God said. We want you to tell it to us the way we want to hear it. And so therefore, we're going to have to go get us this man called preacher and not a God called preacher, because a God called preacher is going to tell you the way God said it. Amen. Is that right? So they're going to heap to themselves preachers. Is that what it says? Got to get a teacher. You can't be passionate about something you don't believe. You can, but it won't take people long to see through it. You understand what I'm saying? Listen, the Bible's always right, brethren. God didn't mean to put preacher there and say, oh, I put teacher. No, he knew what he was putting. These little soft peddling, backstroking, compromising, spineless, get up there. They don't have any passion. They don't have any passion whatsoever. They just want to tell you what you'd like to hear. How do you know that, Pastor? Are you judging them? No, I'm just telling you what God said. Look at it. They're going to heap to themselves teachers, watch this now, having itching ears. What does that mean? It's interesting what it means. Have you ever had somebody take a feather and kind of rub your nose or rub your ear while you wasn't looking? Maybe you were sleeping and your wife, who was mean-spirited, would just carrying on, take that feather and rub your ear, and you know, doing like that. That's exactly what it means. Look it up. It means for somebody to do something and you just got to reach up there and itch it. Oh, it feels so good. That feels so good. Ah, man, you know how it is when somebody's just, you know, tickling your ear and you get to itch it. Man, that feels good. My back, you know, oh man, got it. Right there. Higher. Yeah, right there. Oh, it feels good. That's exactly what that's saying. Look it up. Having itching ears. Oh, they just, oh, that sounds so beautiful. That's just so good. I feel better about my sin now. Why? Because I brought you in after my own lust. I don't want to confess sin. I just want you to help me feel comfortable in it. I'm not saying you now. Please don't misunderstand me. I don't know your lot in life. I'm just telling you this is the day that we're moving to. What happens after that, Pastor? Well, it says in verse 4, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. They're going to turn to fables. They don't want the truth. Just keep telling us what we want to hear, and we'll keep stroking that check for you. Now, I just described to you a lot of what's going on in America. I have no axe to grind. Most of you that know me well know I don't have a big circle, so I do not have an axe to grind, but I do have a heart that's troubled for our churches. And so as Paul... And this is where we'll pick up some next week. You can go ahead and close your Bible and look this way. As the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, he said, you know, our God is a giving God. And he gave us these gifts. And many times when people think about the gifts of God, they don't think along these lines. He said, among these gifts are the prophets and the apostles, and they kind of laid the foundation for the church. And then he said the evangelists and the pastors, teachers, and he said he gave us these gifts so that they could help us, and they would help us not to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, and they would help bring unity in the church. And it goes right along with what Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica. You know, you unify around the truth. When you go into a church, a Bible-believing church, please listen and I'll be through right here. As a matter of fact, go ahead and stand up. You know what causes a church to be unified? You say, well, I think it's the pastor. Well, no, it's not. Well, I think it's the good heart of the people. No, it's not that. It's the truth. This is where we're unified. We're unified around this. This is what unifies us. Ephesians 4 teaches it, that we may all come into the unity of the truth. And so as I begin to believe what the Bible says, it draws me closer. And as you begin, it draws you closer. And as we get closer to the truth, it brings us all closer to one another. You see that, right? But the truth is the core of what pulls us together. God, help me to be faithful to the truth. I don't know all this book teaches, but I want to know more. And I think you do. Let's not get caught up in these things, brethren. That I'm not saying that fellowship's the only church. I'm not saying that Baptists are the only, you know, that we are the only ones that have truth. But I am saying this. There are Bible-believing churches, and then there's those that don't. There are Bible-believing preachers, and then there's those that aren't. There are Bible-believing Christians, and then there's professors of Christianity that don't believe the Bible. Let's concern ourselves with the truth. All right? Let's do that. Let's stop identifying truth by this and that and this. Let's identify truth by who holds fast to this. Right? Amen. God help us. I mean that. God help me. God help me. This is important. This is important. Would you bow your head with me? Now, some of you have young